What is going on, everyone? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. It has been a couple of weeks. I took 2 weeks off over the break. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. It was nice to, kind of take a little break. I preach a lot of that stuff. It was nice to practice what I preach, but it is good to be back and podcasting once again. And we are on episode 35, and I'm bringing to you Hallie. Now, I came across Hallie through Annie Jones, if you remember her from an earlier episode as a bookstore owner. Hallie, though, she has a really interesting history. When she was in her early 20s, she started a nonprofit that basically kind of blew up and did some amazing things. And she's sort of gone through this boom and then the loss of that, the having to switch it up and do something new, the burnout. And she is in grad school now and consulting and has kind of flipped everything on its head. And her story is just really cool because she has learned a lot of the lessons that we talk about over and over on Theology of Hustle, but very practically. And she talks about those things. She's very eloquent. I think you're really going to love her energy, her passion for helping people just do what they do well, whether that be nonprofits, whether that be traditional businesses. And you're going to get a lot out of this interview. You're really going to enjoy it. So make sure that you are subscribed to the Theology of Hustle through whatever app you were listening on so you can get updates on future episodes. If you don't mind, would you, while you're thinking about it, rate and review me on iTunes or whatever app you use, if that is possible. Some of you Android users don't have such an easy time with that. But if you could, it just helps get the word out about A Theology of Hustle, shows people that it is worth a listen, and I would greatly appreciate that. Make sure you're following me on Instagram. I hope you enjoy this episode with Hallie. Hey, Hallie, thank you so much for jumping on a call with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. It's nice to meet you. I'm excited to chat a little bit. So why don't we jump off, though, with you just sort of introducing yourself to everyone?
Yeah. So I'm Hallie Brand. My husband and I live in Nashville, Tennessee. We're both in MBA programs. I'm at Lipscomb University and he's at Vanderbilt. And I am kind of in a weird season, but I do consulting for like nonprofits and social enterprises and just kind of help people with the people that want to do good. I help them figure out how to do that business, like on the business side, with logistics. So I'm still really figuring that out. We've had a couple of years that have just been an adventure, but it's been really fun. I ran a social enterprise for a number of years. And with this transition, we just moved to Nashville in August of this past year. And with this transition, shut down the social enterprise, the product line part of it, and switched over to consulting. And God's just really like opened doors. And so it's been fun to kind of get to be a part of, use my skills from that season in this new season, helping people figure out their businesses.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited to jump into your story. I'm really interested in sort of the whole social enterprise thing. So do you mind sort of taking us back to the beginning? How did you start all of that stuff? What was that like?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a family that was in like very mission minded. I get especially like that early 2000s word. But we lived in Belize for a little while when I was younger, and so I think when I wanted to be a doctor, we lived in a medical clinic in Belize, and I like from that wanted to be a doctor. And so when I went to college, I chose a college that had a great medical pre-med program. I went my whole life thinking, like from fourth grade when we lived in Belize to freshman year of college, like thinking I was going to be a doctor. And at that point, I got through like biology and was like, "Nah, I don't want to do this. I want to help people." So like, how can you help people without being a doctor? And so I, you know, wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do and like had always had been on a lot of mission trips and stuff and convinced my parents to let me spend a semester in Uganda during junior year of college. And from, and I like, do you know who Katie Davis is?
No, I don't.
So there's this girl, Katie Davis. She, as a 19-year-old, she was like my idol and she's still, she's great. But she like moved to Uganda a couple of years before I like went there, has adopted 13 children. She runs Amazima, which is an incredible ministry. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a doctor. So I'm going to be Katie Davis. And
that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. You know, life plan, be some other person.
Like, right. Right. No, that they say that's the way to
God go. God always honors that plan. Absolutely. Yeah, right. So, went to Uganda, was, you know, really interested in orphan care, but realized like through that, like just a need for sustainability for family, like so many families were giving their kids up for adoption or for like really placement in these homes because they couldn't afford to send their kids to school or provide the life that they would want for their kids. And so I prayed the whole time, like I was there for 3 months and I prayed the whole, every single day, like, God, like open a door. I want to be here forever. I had told my parents, like, I'm going to try to be here forever. He didn't open that door. But he did show me that need of like sustainability and of, and really education being this, like, if these communities could have good education systems and have, and these kids could have access to education, like we could change these communities. And this was a time, this was 2011. And so it was a time when like social enterprise and stuff was relatively new. Toms had been around for, you know, 3 or 4 years. And they were like the big, you know, big people. And so came home, part of my dad's like agreement in me going to Uganda was one, that I would come home. I was not for that. But two, he's a financial planner. I was a psych major with a writing minor. He, I think, honestly just didn't want to pay for me the rest of my life, which, you know, like that's what you hope to raise kids to be. And he was like, if we let you go to Uganda, you're going to come home and you're going to minor in bit and you're going to add another minor in business. And I had like enough time to do that within like the graduation, like, you know, needed graduation hours. And so I did. And in that process, there was an entrepreneurship class that basically the teacher said, I went to a Christian university, and basically the teacher said, take a problem that you're passionate about and solve it using business. And so I was passionate about these kids. I thought I was going to like fundraise for these, for more kids to go to school. But I was passionate about these kids and I was like, okay, you know, like, and I also, you have to know about me, like, I either do something 100% or not at all. Like I am, and I've been like that my entire life, sometimes to the detriment, but I, you know, was looking around, like it was when like social enterprises were really starting to kind of get criticized, and was like, okay, what can we do that like fixes the problems that, you know, these groups are getting criticized for? And basically came up with this idea through this class of selling school supplies and funding education, because the main criticism at social, with like the one-for-one programs, is that they don't like pour in, like they take out of the local economies and if you provide shoes, the local shoemaker doesn't have a job because nobody's going to buy shoes from him. And so we wanted to fund education because we saw like if we funded education, and jobs were kind of a thing we wanted to do too, but like it was harder to make school supplies in these countries because they're paper and, you know. So I came up with, you know, this idea and was like, and presented it to my parents. I was like 21 years old at this point, a senior in college. And I was like, hey, I want to like, I have this idea. Like, do y'all think this is a good idea? And I was really expecting them, because like my dad had already been like, get a job. Like, so I was like kind of expecting them to be like, no, that's not a wise idea. Like, do that, like go get experience for, you know, a number of years and then come back and start this company. Right. And my mom like totally surprised me, which was wonderful. But like in the moment I was like, wait, no, because my mom was like, Hallie, Like I wasn't even dating anybody in college. Like I was like totally free. Like they knew I could be on their insurance for a number of years. Like, and so they were like, this is the time in your life that you're going to be the freest. So like, why, if you have this idea, why not like try it now? And I had like, I like my first job was at a paper store. And so like I knew, and I just like was always that girl who went to Target and bought all the, you know, everything. Like we didn't have Target, but so I guess I went to Walmart, but like, I was always like, you know, loved all the school supplies, beginning of the year stuff. And so they just said like, hey, why don't you try this? Like, and so it was like this like freedom. And they said, you know, they were like, you can stay on our insurance. Like we like, and they said, like, they were kind of like, as long as you can pay for yourself, you know, like, go for it. So that's what I did. And so I started it I worked a year at a church in Jackson, Mississippi, where my college was. And they had like an internship program where basically they gave me like we did ministry stuff 4 hours of the day. And then they kind of said like, hey, we like your idea with Dot, go run with it for the rest of the time. And that was, that was an incredible That's blessing. Awesome. And a church with amazing resources that would let me do that. And then in 2014, early 2014, we launched what became Dot. And it's my grandmother's name. It's now what I like do consulting under, but it stands for Do One Thing. And it's kind of the idea that we can all make small decisions with a big impact. And since I had been a college student, like I knew there were so many college students that like wanted, like they were like, oh, you went to Uganda. I wish I could do that. But for some, whatever reason, like they couldn't or didn't, you know, choose that. And so I wanted to show people like, you don't have to move to Uganda to make an impact on like people's lives. And so so we started in 2014. We were, I was leading it. I had like volunteers and a little team for the first little while. And it was wonderful. Like we funded, so, you know, long, like clearly now you know that I do consulting now, so it's a little different, but, you know, over the 4 years that we ran it, I had a team by the end of it, but over the 4 years that we ran it, we funded like 47, I think, years of school for kids in Congo, Tanzania, wow. Mexico, and Haiti. We had great partnerships. We got to partner with college students that want, and I think that why Dot was successful was because students, like we plug students in pretty well. And we had like a great internship program. We had these journals that students could we would send the artistic students would kind of apply and then we would send them 7 journals and they would like paint these handmade collaborations. And so we just kind of like my interns and team would come up with things and it would be like, well, why not try that? And like everything they came up with, like the things that I came up with, like kind of worked, but the things that like these other people came up with, like really were the thing that I was kind of like, I doubt that will, like the handmade journal collaborations. I was like, this is never going to work. Hand painted journals. I was like, this is never going to work. And then like, literally, like, I think by the end of it, we had sold like 500 of them or something, like something. And they're, they were like twice as much as our normal journals and logistically a lot of work. But you know, I didn't know a whole lot about business, like going into like running it. And so I just like really, somebody told me when we were getting started, this like quote, I don't know who it was from, but they were like, everybody's winging it. Like that was like, they were like, everybody, not just like you who's like struggling, like everybody, you just don't know that they're winging it. And I really like took that, like, and so I just we came up with things, I just asked people like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And I think because I was young and I was like, I am a very optimistic and I think it's a realistic optimism. Like I like logistics. So I know like what can and can't happen, but like, I'm not going to say no when somebody comes up with something, or that I come up with something, I'm just gonna be like, well, let's see if that can happen. And so it did, it just went really well. And it was just really like a sweet season. We ended up opening a retail store in the college town. So the college I went to, Mississippi College, is 20 minutes outside of Jackson. And we kind of worked between Jackson and Clinton, where MC is. And we had a retail store. We had, I think at the end of it, I had had 19 interns and a couple different people. Like, it was just, and I was like 22. Yeah, it was. So it was like sweet to see the Lord provide. And I think now looking back on it, it was just a real season of God, like showing me. I always knew I wanted to do something different, but God, I was always afraid, or I always felt like I was going to have to figure out what that different thing was. And God just really opened the doors and has continued to show me, like, the things he taught me in that season are so applicable to the things that I'm learning and helping other people do now. So yeah, so that's kind of the story.
Gosh, that is like an incredible amount of work to put in at like 21.
Yeah.
I mean, you're early 20s, yeah, right? You built a business.
I just didn't know that wasn't something. I did know. Like, most of my friends were not doing that. I like I said, like, I'm 100% person. And so, and I will say, like, I was probably in a unique situation where I was in, like, I have an, like, our college community was incredible. They took it and ran with it. My parents are wonderful. Like, I just have, and so I didn't, like, looking back, I can see that. I don't think I necessarily always knew that in the moment, because it was kind of like, anybody could be doing this. And now I kind of see, like, no, I was in kind of a unique situation. I was kind of honestly sometimes a little judgy about, like, why aren't you doing, you know, when people would be like,
look at how much I'm doing. Well, you should be doing,
yeah,
more.
Come on, guys. Everyone, like,
help people overseas.
Yeah, but it was, I think then, like, we went into, like, at the end, like, after we had opened the retail shop, I started dating my husband and my now husband. And like, I had been in such a season where I had given Dot my everything. And then when Gus and I started dating, I'm crazy, because we only dated we knew each other for a long time. I always have to preface it with that. Or I say 4 months if I just want to shock people, because that's fun. But we dated for 4 months, and then we decided to get married, and we only were engaged for 4 months. And it just, I didn't know how much all of that was going to take out. And by the end of that, like, by the time we were married and, like, I was running the retail store and everything, I was so burnt out. And so it took, like, so we scaled back a lot of things. We closed the retail shop that, like, we only had it open for a year. And in some ways, those things felt like failure, because I had been so ridiculously, you know, moving forward for the past 4 years. Right. But, like, now I can look back and see, like, that, like, and I knew at that point, like, life, like, what I was doing was not sustainable long term. I didn't know what it would mean to find a life that was sustainable long term. And I had no idea that I was going to be getting married that quickly. And that was a whole nother, like, story. My husband had my now husband, whatever, his job was going to send him to grad. We knew his job was going to send him to grad school this year. And so we knew that we wanted to get married, and we knew that we wanted to have a little season of, like, learning how to do life together before he would start grad school. Wasn't sure that I was going to do grad school. So, like, getting married made sense, although it did make things just a little nutso. So now I feel like, yeah, on the back end of that, we're just finally, like, 2 years into marriage, finding, like, at a place where both of our lives are sustainable and just manageable. And it's been a kind of a weird season, but it's been really sweet to see how God, I think I thought for a little while, I wondered if, like, I was just going to, like, quit all the social enterprise stuff, if I was just going to get totally out of it, because I was pretty burnt out. And God's just been really faithful to open doors as I grew in my capacity, in my, like, mental and emotional capacity after going through that, like, season of burnout. And so it's been cool. Definitely not on my timeline, but it's been really sweet. Yeah. How he's opened doors for that.
Yeah. That's nuts. Wow. There's a lot there. So, I do have to say first, if people are judgy about the whole 4 months and 4 months thing, I say like, that's the dream right there.
It was
like,
for us.
You lived the dream, right? Dating and being engaged is horrible.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
And I will say, like, my mom planned our whole wedding. Like, we would have eloped if it wasn't because my mom, and our family, like, yes. You know, and I mean, sure, I wanted the wedding, but like, also at that point I was like, let's just get married. But like, no, yeah. At that point, and we look back and say, like, that's the most wonderful season that we'd never want to do ever again. So it was perfect. Neither of us really like dated our first couple years out of college. And then, which was, I think like we both, cause we knew each other from college and we wouldn't have dated in college. And then we learned a lot, even business wise, that made us like more in line with what the other, you know, was. And we knew each other's character. So at that point, like our parents were, we expected our parents to be like, absolutely not. Like, this is really dumb. And they were like, yeah, like, go for it. Like, y'all both have careers that you love and you're doing fine. So, and I was like, oh, okay. So it's been a good
Sounds
season.
Like you don't give your parents enough yeah. credit. I think, you know, twice now, right?
No, they are. Yes. And at this point I have said like, yeah, no, at this point I give them a lot of credit because I have been wrong. That was a humbling thing, but I have been wrong more times and they have been right more times than anybody would like to admit.
It's amazing yes. how that works, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting to the point in my children's lives where I'm not cool anymore and I'm the dumb one.
How old are your kids? You know,
so almost 9, 7 yeah. and 2. I mean, we're basically all about to have yeah. birthdays, but
that's
so
fun. Yeah. Nine,
yeah. So they're way cooler than I am already. So,
well, just because yeah. you know, 20 years from now, they're going to be like, Dad knew everything. Yeah, he tried to tell it to me. All. And I was yeah. like, whatever. And they'll come around.
I will. I contend. And I do a lot of work with college students and stuff mm-hmm. now, you know, in ministry. You are never as smart as you are when you're like 18, 19, yes. 20, right? Like, you are as brilliant as you'll ever
yeah,
be.
Yeah. Or you think you are as brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know everything. No one can tell you any different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We all go through it. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So what was it like when you realized that moment you realized sort of Dot needs to be done or need, like, what was that season like?
I mean, honestly, it just really sucked. Like, there's not a whole lot of other words. I think God was gracious and we were able to, because it was able to be there wasn't a moment there. I guess there was a moment at which I knew like, okay, this is over. But like, it had been almost a year coming before it was finally like I knew. And we tried like a couple different groups and people wanted to buy it. And we tried to like, I thought I was so set on the fact that like, and it was it was 100% a pride thing. Because I think God was making it clear that like he had new things and I also felt like Dot as the school supply business wasn't the only, like I knew the whole time, like Dot as the school supply business didn't have to be what Dot would become, you know, 15 years from now. And
right.
And I think he gave me that peace, like early, like even early mm-hmm. on, I had a mentor be like, well, if you wanted to do like, if you wanted to write books one day, or if you wanted to like do something totally different, you could always do it under Dot. And I think because Dot's named mm-hmm. after my grandmother, like I,
yeah. Which is super cute, by the way.
She loves it. She like she'll wear our stickers
so cool.
around
oh,
and she'll sign
that.
Her name. As, it's precious.
That's cool.
But it took me a long time because of pride because I wanted this to be successful. I'm 100%, you know, get it and do it forever kind of person. And I had built so much of my identity around like school supplies. And now looking back and so much of my community, because I was 22 when I started it, people still in that community in some ways in Clinton where we were had our shop and stuff, they're like, oh, Hallie, like the dot girl. And like, I hated that, but at the same time, it was the only identity that like I had. And so I think like at the point, so when we finally like decided this is over, the school supply end is over. I had been working with a couple of girls about them potentially like taking it over. They had been interns and were graduating from college, and we met and we talked, like we had talked multiple times, and then finally we met and they were just like, you know, Hallie, like, we've prayed about it and we just don't think that we're supposed to do it. And I think at that point it was a relief, but it was a year and a half coming of relief. And I think God had like walked me through a season where I wanted it to be done. And I was like, and at that point we knew we were moving to Nashville. Like we knew I could no longer do it. And honestly, like we got off our call with them, and I like went back out on my back porch and I just sobbed my eyes out and called my husband and, you know, told him like, and then had a glass of wine, 'cause I was like, what else do you do at this point? But I think like, I think logistically it was hard, but it was also at that point a relief. And I also felt like in that season, like I was saying, like God had confirmed this idea of like, this isn't the end of dot. And that's what I wanted more than anything. Right. And it's been sweet because we closed down, but we still do, it's weird. We still do school supply bundles. So we work with schools in Jackson and we can work with them wherever, but right now we're just working in Jackson and do all the school supplies that they need for the school year. Like a parent can buy them and they fund education. And it was just the one program that was still like able to run, because it only needs to be running like May and August. And so when I announced like, hey, we're shutting down dot, I gave it a caveat of like, as the school supply company or as the school supply like line. And then a couple months later, when we did decide to do consulting under dot, and most of that honestly was just legally, like I had to like find out like how you make, you know, how like you make it, like if it was okay to take an LLC that had been like set up for a school supply company and turn it to something else, which you can.
Right.
And so then when we announced that that it was now like this consulting business, I already had kind of a group of people who were interested and who wanted, you know, for me to be a part of their things. And God opened doors for consulting in that year and a half, where I got to kind of help people, like help a group start a malnutrition center and help a number of different friends do cool projects where I had, like, I kind of knew, not totally, but I kind of knew like what I wanted to do at that point, which that we knew like the school supply part was over. So it has been a journey, but it's been sweet. And God's been a part of it, like every single, even though I haven't always been able to see it in that moment. He's been a part of it, and it's been really, he's been leading it. So it's been good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. No, it's a great story. Do you do Enneagram?
Yes,
are you
a
three?
One. Yeah.
Oh, are you really one? Really?
I think I'm a one. I think I'm a one because so much of this is like perfect. Like it's so perfection driven. And I think I know you can't be like a one wing three, because that's, you know, whatever, but like,
you know, with
messes up the whole structure of things. But I do, I think when I read about it initially, I thought like, maybe it's a three, maybe it's a one, but I think my like fear of people thinking that I failed was more, because that's why I was like, oh, maybe I'm a three, was more like this, like, no, this, if people think I failed, or if I failed at all, like I wasn't perfect. And I always just, and it's been a struggle my whole life, but I've just always wanted to be perfect. And so that, yeah, so it has definitely been a journey, but I think I'm a one. I'm still like learning, but I'm a one.
I mean, and that's where the motivation behind it all comes in. You know what I mean? And like, 'cause I, I don't know that I'm a perfectionist in certain things I am, but like, I'm okay with things being imperfect if it presents the right projection to people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Three?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm a full on three, I think. And it took me a long time to come to that. You know, I was like, am I a seven? Mm-hmm. Am I an eight? You know? Yeah, but but then all of a sudden it was like, you know, it all clicked, you know.
It is funny the way, like, and that's what I really have enjoyed. Like, I was a psych major, so I've, you know, love personality, but I've really enjoyed Enneagram because it's so about what people's motivations are. And so it takes a little longer.
Right. And you can't ever tell that, can you?
And like, I have diagnosed, like, I was a psych major, so I'm constantly diagnosing people. Sorry. Right. People are going to think I'm terrible. I thought, like, I was like, oh, my sister is this and my mom is this. And then like, and my husband is this. And like, I presented like, okay, I think you're this. And they were like, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but like, no. And it was like, oh, dang it.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that a few times. Yes. You're like, oh, I don't know you at all. Okay. Yes. Well, yeah, this has gotten awkward. So, but you know, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. A one. Okay. I think
what?
Enneagram talk. No, I think my daughter is like a burgeoning one, which is, yeah, interesting to even see those traits in her. At such
how
a
old
age,
is she?
You know, but, yeah, she's nine. Yeah.
Honestly have, like, I think most people would say this. I have been the same person since I was 5 years old. Like, I have been the same, like, and I think that's some of the perfection, you know? And different. Right.
When she's very much the same
different
way.
Different seasons have brought out different parts of it, but it is that like need to be, and not even like right as in like, I want to be right, but just like, I want to do things well. And I want to be like as good as possible, as you can possibly be. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. A little tangent there. Let's jump into consulting though, because I'm super interested in like, who gets into consulting? Like, sort of accidentally,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how, what?
You know, so part of when we closed the shop, I knew I was going to have more time. I let one of our employees go and then just had like a really small intern team. And like I said, I'm 100% person. And so I knew even in the season of burnout, I needed things to be doing and I needed like to have my plate full. And at the same time, one of my like good friends had two friends from college and I guess, yeah, from college that had been in Haiti running a malnutrition center. And they wanted to like shift into starting their own. But they didn't know anything about business or like how to start a nonprofit or, you know, like any of that. Yeah. And I was like, I think because I was 22 when I started, I just like figured things out and I didn't have a ton of resources to start it. And so I just figured it out. And so the malnutrition, Potter and Clay is the malnutrition center. That was the first project that I like fully took on as like, okay, I'm going to show y'all how to do this from the beginning to the end. But like over the 4 years I had been like, what I loved about Dot was that I got to interact with people about the things that they were passionate about. And like, why I got burnt out on Dot was because like, I had to run a business. Like I had to run a business that like took me away from the people that I got to talk to. And some of it was like, I didn't have a good organizational structure because I didn't know how to do that. Because I think I could have like continued doing Dot and had that. I just think that wasn't the way it was supposed to happen. But yeah. I was having so many conversations with different people. I was in this college town. The person that this college touted as like, she started a business, like y'all can do it too. And they started an entrepreneurship like department kind of, and they were like using me a lot as the like, no, but she, y'all can do it. Like reason for people funding this program. And so like, I just was given a lot of opportunities to like, see if I really wanted to do it. And then once I started working with Potter and Clay, I kind of like approach when I like told Gus about it, I kind of was like, hey, I want to do this as like to see if this is something that I would want to do long term. Because like, I think this is like something I'm good at. And I was also thinking about like going to grad school because I really struggled with like all of the financial stuff of running a business. Like I didn't know how to do it. And I didn't like, and all the government stuff of running a business. And it's the worst.
It's a lot too. It's
and
so
it keeps
much stuff.
People from doing the things that, yeah, that cause they're like right. scared of it. And so, but Gus is in banking. And so I was learning a lot through him about like how a small business could be run. And he was learning about a lot from me about social enterprise and, you know, a lot of that. So it was just this kind of like perfect mix. And that's why, like when we did move to Nashville and Gus like decided to go to Vandy for grad school, I like also looked for a program because I knew that in order to be able to like work with consulting clients, and I feel like sometimes I call it consulting, sometimes I call it coaching, but like, who knows what I'm doing? It's really whatever people need, but I knew like in order to do this, I needed to know more about the financial side because I knew that was the, right. like the biggest struggle, for businesses. And so, and it was also encouraging because like Gus took over a lot of our finances and he's been in banking seven years, like a while. And he struggled with like how to pay sales tax. And so, and it was like, okay, I'm not just an idiot. Like I'm not just, no, you know, yeah, like this is yeah. hard for, and it, so it was kind of this, yeah, it was and granted, we know that this season is a relatively temporary one. We know we will go back to Jackson when we are done with grad school. So in 2020. And so I don't necessarily, I know that like helping people start businesses and grow businesses and strategy and processes are all things I love. I don't know how that will play out long term, but I've gotten really cool experience by just like kind of putting my hand up and saying like, hey, if you need help, like I'm here. And it's right. been just a really cool journey. I was never a person before we got married, I was never a person to be flexible. Like on, like I was never like, oh, we'll figure it out. Like I knew what we were doing forever. And this season has been really cool because I do know what we're doing ish after grad school. But for this season, it's kind of the season of like, let's figure this out, you know? And so it's just been a really like interesting, strange, but like, definitely needed and definitely appreciated season of our lives that I'm trying to be like faithful in learning everything I can for whatever he has next.
Yeah. So you work with a lot with nonprofits, right? And helping sort of businesses yeah. get off the ground. That's what you're yeah. doing with consulting. So I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but in your experience or from what you've seen, What is one of the greatest mistakes that people make when they go into something
yeah,
like
so
that?
So I think I'm trying to like think how to say this. Yeah, I think because it's the thing that we work on the yeah. most. But I think people have really good like vision for the long term, but implementable strategies are not, because most of us that like want to like change the world, we have big yeah. vision, but yeah. the day-to-day, how are we going to do this is lacking in a lot of ways. And yeah. so, and I think, and I don't think that that's not because like people aren't trying. It's, I think a lot of it's because
right.
like people get into these organizations because they want to help in whatever, like whatever they're passionate about. They want to do what they're passionate about.
Right.
And then they get stuck because you have to do all the other things. And so what I really like work to help people do is see the big picture and then break down their steps. Whether that means that I'm helping, like that I'm tangibly helping them break down their steps or just helping them realize like, oh, we need to break down these steps and we need the people in place or the systems in place or whatever to make our big dreams happen. Because all of the other stuff gets in the way, whether that's money, like, and being realistic of like, this is going to take this much money. And like, how are we going to get this much money? And I think a lot of it, like people are afraid to know what it's going to take. And they're afraid, like nonprofits in particular are afraid of fundraising, but they're afraid because they don't have a strategy. And it's like, if you get a strategy, and so much of it is like having a community too, but if you get a strategy, then it's not scary. It's just steps that you're taking. I think that's kind of my biggest thing and my biggest thing that I work with people on implementing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough for any business. And I feel like you add another layer of non-for-profit, you know, because even as an NFP NFP, you feel like you can't get money, right? Like you feel bad about like taking money there's all sorts of stuff that's kind of awkward about that, you know, you're doing
good.
But
it takes money to do good, you know,
and it takes
money resources. And I think it was after Dot or after the school supply company that I realized like how much I was limiting myself by being afraid of presenting my ideas in a way to people with resources. And I think some of that has come from Gus being in banking. Like that's what they do all day, you know, like, and they tell people like, this is what it's going to cost. And can we do this? And you know, all of that. And it's like, oh, well, if my people knew these things, like we could do a lot more good. And so I think, it's been cool to see like just how much people can raise and how excited other people get when they realize what they're doing when people have a strategy. And it's not scary. You don't like, you might lose a little sleep at night, but it's not because you're a dreamer and, you know, instead of it being because you're so scared of like shutting down and of like you're so sad about things. It just takes a strategy.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's cool. I love that. That's good stuff. Okay. So you talk about vision. So you got into this whole Dot thing because I assume you wanted to change the world, right? You saw
absolutely.
So how has your view of work and like how work can be used for God's kingdom, like shifted over this, like, you know, loss of what you were doing, you know, and gaining this new vision?
I think in general, like you do have to know my early perspective to be able to like know progression. So I like when I was 17, 18, I told my dad, you know, you can't love Jesus and be in business. And my dad's a financial planner. And so he like clearly since then I have apologized profusely. And because like this whole, you know, my perspective, even in running Dot, like I realized how business and doing business well could impact the world and could be, and Jesus could use that. And not only like, could that be a thing that Jesus uses, even though it's a bad thing, it like is the thing that Jesus uses because it's like a good thing. And so I think like work, like I didn't realize this. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, but I didn't realize how much like my husband being in banking, like, has affected me over the past couple of years because I've started to really and he works at a wonderful bank. Like they're sending him to grad school, like at Vanderbilt. So like he works at a wonderful, wonderful, very it's called Community Bank, very community driven bank. And it's not sponsored. But thanks guys. But like I learned so much about like in that season where my business wasn't going how I wanted it to go and where I was having to make shifts and having to and feeling like my emotional life like so in shambles because of this like business and because of work. And I had such a perspective of like, this has to be because this is me doing good. Like, this is the way I do good. And through losing that, And then also being around people who are in traditional business and are doing amazing things, right. Like are allowing communities to thrive, because they're, you know, giving loans and they do a lot of like education for their people. So, I think I saw that, like my perspective on work, like now I have consulting clients that are like, I do consulting for like creatives too. Like it's not just like give back businesses, but I believe now so much that like my, you know, photographer consult or client is doing exactly what she's called to do. And, right. And it may not be, and like, she's empowering like these young couples to see what marriage should be through living out her like marriage and through like sharing that on Instagram, which I totally didn't like understand before. Yeah. And so I think like I always had this perspective, like dot stands for do one thing. You know, it's this idea that you can make big or small decisions with a big impact. But I didn't realize like every single one of our decisions throughout the day is that decision that you can make with a big impact. And it may not always be, you know, some underprivileged child in wherever, but like we're all on this planet to like be good for each other. And that's so not how the world is functioning right now and whatever. But like, I do believe that like I can be a light for that. And I can, and like, even when other people are not acting that way, like I can fight for that in my consulting and in my work. And it's been really cool to see even like people's perspectives be changed in even little ways, like because, you know, because you put purpose behind photography or yeah. weddings or, you know, some of these industries that people kind of see as like just self-serving or whatever. But to talk to people and to see their struggles and then to help them fix their, like their pain points, is just, like, you, I don't know. I just see a bigger picture than I, you know, when I was like, oh, I'm going to live in Uganda and that's the only place that I can do good. Like, no. And so I'm passionate about that. I think that's one place where I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out long term, because I want to do more, but I am become even more passionate about that as I've done consulting.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's it. Great job. That was like perfect. It's like, I couldn't even say that better myself. So, yeah, that's cool. I love though the like real life experience of like, you can see it so tangibly in your story. It's really cool. So,
yeah. And I think that is a unique piece of my life that a couple people have pointed out recently. And I've always like, I love to write and, you know, love to, like I used to be like big on Instagram. Now I've, you know, not really done that anymore, but I think God has been super gracious to, even in the hard seasons, to then open a door. Like my life up to this point, and I think it will be this going forward, has just been relatively clear of why. Hmm. Like why this hard, like we lived in Belize when I was little and that was hard. And like we lost our house in Hurricane Katrina and that was hard. And like, I like had to give up a lot in order to go to Uganda and that was hard. But in each, like, and you know, all of these different things, but in each season, like even if it was like in the next couple of years, like he has really been clear about like why that happened, which I think is like not everybody. And I do think some of it is I pay attention. You know, I love stories, so I try to make my story make sense. Yeah. But that has been a really cool thing that he has given me, you know, over time.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I love that. Good stuff. Well, I appreciate all the time. Are you okay with us doing the final two questions now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, first, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
So I was thinking about this, honestly, like, I think starting a company at 22 was the strangest job.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I was like trying to think about it and it was like, well, I worked at a paper store when I was 16, but like who didn't, or you know, who like,
I totally
didn't do
did.
Retail
yeah, for yeah. sure.
But you know, like what 16-year-old didn't do retail? Yeah, I babysat. Right. I really yeah. didn't like, I was young, so I didn't have any like weird jobs. But yeah. I think that was like, I was thinking about it. It's like, well, I did start a company at 22. So
I mean,
that's weird.
That's super, I mean, I like to see, I love that your entrepreneurship class, because isn't it, you were taking that, like, you were like, oh, I should just start a business, right? Yeah, I mean, like, totally worked. I mean,
Well, and they, like, they made it seem so easy. Like, she was like, the professor, and I was still, like, good friends with the professor, but she was like, hey, like, it, like, you can register an LLC for like $50 in Mississippi and in 30 minutes. Like, we could get that registered like that. And so it was like, well, why would, and I am that 100% person. So, like, why wouldn't
why
I?
Why wouldn't I do that?
And I, you know, didn't have plans after college. So why not make my own plan?
It's beautiful. I love that. That's good stuff. I think that definitely qualifies. So good job on the strangest job. So finally, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom into their work?
Yeah, I think this is super cheesy, but I think it's the do one thing, you know, it's the, like, don't go out, like, you don't have to do this huge, crazy thing, like, just do the thing that's in front of you. And if that's, like, you have a coworker that, like, you know, needs to be, like, talked to, or, like, could be, like, could use encouragement, encourage them. Yeah. If that's, like, you're good at baking and you, like, enjoy that, and outside, like, bake some cookies, you know, like, I just think that, like, God's kingdom is wherever we as believers are, and wherever we're using our gifts for his good. And so, whatever he has equipped you with, go do it. And that's not, I mean, that's, like, hard, you know, like, not saying that that's, like, easy, but I think that every time you do, like, one thing, it will lead to another thing, and it will lead to another thing that makes things clearer over time. So, yeah.
Preach. I love it. That's perfect. That's perfect. So good job. I can't say thanks enough for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, this has been so fun. Sorry for being so chatty.
Oh my gosh, it was awesome. It was awesome. I think everybody thinks they're, like, super chatty, and I'm always like, I'm really enjoying hearing what you have to say. So it always feels like a lot more, you know. I make you do the bulk of the talking. So
hey, I can always, my husband will tell you, I do the bulk of the talking in, you know, every piece of life.
Everybody's got their role, you know. So yeah, right.
He's a really good listener.
Perfect. I like him already. So.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Curry. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Hallie and just her passion, her burden. I really got a lot out of this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun. Make sure you're following her on all the socials and keep up with what she's doing. Like I said earlier, I am so excited to be back. We have so many great episodes coming at you, heading on towards 50 episodes now. Here in just a short little while, we have some great people coming up. You do not want to miss it. Make sure you're subscribed. And until next time, get out there and hustle.